Mere conservatism.
Cleve, what?
Ahem. Hey, Cleve, do you need to be trained on how to use a microphone?
That's David Perry, and I'm Cleve Walker, and I know how to use a microphone.
You just got to look. I'll point the right end at you. Yeah. And then use
the boom bell. That's what he's talking about. I'm Cleve Walker again, David Perry, and this is Mere Conservatism, and we're off to a rocky start. David, golly, well, I'm so glad to talk to you because unfortunately, we don't get a chance to get together as often as we can for the podcast. So much has happened. I almost feel like they've reached a low now that they cannot, when I say they, I'm talking about the Democrats and the progressive group in their attack on America and American culture. They've always reached a one where I don't know if they can pass it.
Well, it's now Christian nationalism. That's the buzzword now.
Right. They started a while back.
Yeah, it's been maybe about a year. Yeah. They've been kind of beating that drum, and it's gaining steam.
Before we even get to that, though, because I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that. I am still trying to recover equilibrium from the reaction or lack thereof, proper reaction, to the death of that young student on University of Georgia's campus. The media is doing their best to distract and explain it all the way and make sure you don't make any connection between that horrible tragedy and the lack of any kind of law on our southern border. And it just made me almost sick one time thinking about it. And I don't want to go there because if I go there, I'm waiting for a rough ride.
It's really bad. Yeah. It's Lake and Riley, the student there at UGA. And she was brutally murdered by this Venezuelan illegal immigrant. So the thing, this bugs me on several different levels. Okay. One is that the border is open enough that people are moving so freely across.
Right.
That's an obvious problem.
Right.
This guy came across, and so that's one thing. The border's open. Here's the second thing that bothers me about this. The law enforcement right now is in such shambles. What happens almost universally in cases like this, Cleve, when we hear about an illegal immigrant who does something like this, which it happens a lot, it's almost never the first time that they've done something.
Oh, no, no.
In other words, that these are obviously career criminals that have been arrested many times and let go.
Many of them are being released from prisons where they're from, to tell you the truth.
That's true. So they're criminals. They come across. Right. They do more crimes here. And instead of holding them at the least, deporting them at best— they're released, and they keep doing these things. This guy had been in trouble in New York, apparently. He had been in trouble in Georgia, was my understanding. And he was able to be out and commit this crime. And it shouldn't happen. Now, my thing is this. This could happen in my neighborhood.
Of course.
Because the other thing that bothers me is Clark County's embrace of illegal immigrants, let's say. It was initially reported that Clark County was a sanctuary city, that Athens, Georgia is a sanctuary city. Now, I immediately messaged my reps because I thought that that was illegal in Georgia.
And so I
messaged them. I still haven't heard back from them, but I found out later that that was somebody was misspeaking.
Right.
Because it is illegal in Georgia. However, the county is welcoming.
Right. And the mayor, by the way, has that attitude, basically, has expressed that in the past about being welcoming.
In fact, the mayor yesterday got on TV to give a press conference.
I saw it.
And he said that immigration and crime are not connected.
And see now
I can't believe that
now
he
you're
would
touching the nerve that I thought I'd gotten over before you came in.
So look, this could it. It's a national issue because Joe Biden and the Democrats are letting this happen. I don't want to blame local authorities for this kind of thing because this could literally happen in my neighborhood.
Right.
Okay. Because of what Joe Biden and them are doing. But the local Democrats there in Athens, Georgia, are letting this happen
right.
with their behavior. And even after, see, this is my thing. You would think that after it happened, the mayor of Athens mm-hmm. would have the sense to say this is terrible, and you know, we you might even think he would say we do not tolerate crime here, and you know, if somebody like this is arrested in our city, we will work with the authorities to get them out of here and stuff like that. No, he doesn't say that.
No, nothing like
Instead, he decides to defend illegal immigration and say that immigration and crime are not connected, which is obviously false.
This is the tack they're taking, the National Democrat Party is taking, by the way, on this story and stories like this, because this is not the first time something like this has happened.
No, it happens a lot. It happens a lot.
But it's right here in our backyard, a lovely young lady whose life was cut short. And we cannot avoid the tragedies of life or what bad people do. But this was, again, something that didn't have to happen. This man was not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't bring it upon themselves. I'm talking about the Democrats now and the progressives. All right, hold on to your beliefs, but you cannot feel enough empathy with this family now who's lost this young lady to lay aside all of your rationale and all this stuff and at least give some type of heartfelt expression about the pain of this community and the fact that what this man did was awful and that he deserves to be punished. They never talk about that. And that was getting to me.
There's a brilliant comedian who's passed on now, Norm MacDonald. Do you know Norm MacDonald? Yeah, he has a famous joke where he basically says, you know, one of the worst things I can imagine is a massive terrorist attack, because then think of all the innocent Muslims that would be looked down on because of this this terrorist attack where hundreds of thousands of Americans are killed. And the joke there is that the bad thing is the terrorist attack, not the backlash.
Right.
And this mayor, I'm sorry I'm laughing. I mean, because it's not funny, but that's great comedy for you.
Yeah.
This mayor is doing the Norm MacDonald joke.
Exactly.
He's saying, oh, you know what we don't want to do is have backlash on illegal immigrants that are – no, that's not the biggest problem we have
and
right now.
And even if we were, it's not the time to bring that out or be talking about that. That's not what you should be talking about. An American citizen, a young woman with hopes and dreams is dead and died horribly. That's what you talk about. All right. Even if you're going to pull that stuff out later on out of the bag, we've got to be careful that we don't draw a broad brush across this whole thing. You don't talk about that now. Show some decency as an American. And David, they're not. They can't.
Look, you know, I don't think that it's too much to ask, Lee. You know, you and I are very conservative and we're pretty far right, you know, on a lot of these issues. I try to keep that in mind when I think about what we should do as policy, because not everybody's where we're at. And and when it comes to politics, we got to find a way to live together, which means we have to find a way to come together. Maybe we don't go as far as I would want to go, but we got to do something, you would think. I in my brain, a reasonable place to be with illegal immigrants is one strike and you're out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think? I mean, even if you're going to have compassion for people who are undocumented, so to speak, that are here in the country, and you don't want to just hunt them down and deport everybody just because they're here. Oh, okay. But when they commit a crime, I would even concede that if it's violent in any way, a crime that is anything worse than jaywalking, it should be one strike and you're out. I mean, they ought to be on the next plane.
Yeah, I don't want
out of here.
I don't want this guy out. Right, this particular guy. I don't want him out. All right.
No, we're going to deal with him here.
Right, and I want him to be and people like him. But anybody else, any other kind of illegality or things where they show that they have spite for the American.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You beat somebody up.
Yeah. That's
you're gone.
Right.
You're not coming back. You punch a cop. You're gone.
And you're not coming back.
All these things we see that these are the kinds of activities that these illegal immigrants that end up killing people, almost always, almost universally, they have done these kinds of things and had run-ins with law enforcement, right, and nothing happens.
And New York didn't detain this guy. You know, we know New York is one of those places. I think a mayor in Arizona, an official there, is refusing to let an illegal immigrant there to go back to New York to do his jurisdiction because she said,
yep,
we know what's going to happen.
Yep. I love that. She was like, we're not going to cooperate with the extradition because we don't want him to get let go.
Right. But he's going to pay for this. And so anyway, I just brought that up to say, just again, when I think the progressive philosophy and actions and reactions cannot be more outrageous, this happened.
Well, I'm outraged by it. And I know a lot of people are. This particular Lake and Riley murder is very close to home for us.
Yes.
And so this one is it really hitting home.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to bring that out. And, of course, we're still praying for that family and that community. It's going to need all the grace of God for those folks. I just cannot imagine what the parents and her friends are having to deal with. But I just had to bring it up about the lack of humanity, let alone the lack of American patriotism on the left. It's not there, David. Well, Trump's legal team has appealed that February 16th ruling on New York Judge Arthur Engorons, who found him liable for more than $350 million in damages in that civil fraud case. By the way, with post-judgment interest accruing at nearly $112,000 per year, we're talking about $354 million over that.
Has he successfully appealed it? Because what I heard is that he had to come up with the money first.
Right. No, that's not done yet. At this point in time, at the time of this podcast, he has appealed it and waiting to see, number one, if there can be some time waiting to, you know, show that he has some money. And I don't think the judge initially responded by giving him that time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I only bring this up because this shows, again, they're trying to not only keep this guy from running, but they're trying to put a whammy on. They're saying he can't do business in New York. He can't do anything like that. And it's also affecting his family. Mm-hmm. The family is drawn into this. These people are out to destroy this guy.
Yeah. So not being intimately familiar with the law in New York, I will give that caveat. If this ruling is in accordance with the law in New York, if it really is, and some legal expert would have to weigh in on that, the law is nuts.
Yeah.
The law is absolutely crazy. Just so you know, what happened here is Donald Trump went to get a loan from a bank. For collateral, mm-hmm, he wanted to use his assets, and he valued them at a certain amount. And the bank gave him the loan.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump paid back the loan.
Interest, yeah.
And everybody's happy, right?
The bank said they wanted to do business with him again.
The bank got their money. Yeah. The bank made their money off of him. He got the capital he needed for whatever project he was doing or whatever that was. And the state comes in and says that there was fraud because he overvalued, quote unquote, his assets for that loan. Well,
right.
My question is, who was hurt by that? Who was defrauded? Because everybody got what they wanted.
There's no victim.
There's no complaint.
Yeah, there's no victim.
There's no victim.
Yeah.
Now, some people say, well, he upped the value for the loan, but he lowered the value for tax purposes. Well, this is what you need to know. The bank is responsible for evaluating the value,
right,
of their collateral.
Right.
If they decide to take his word for it, that's up to them to do that.
They have made a decision, yes.
Same with the state. The state sets the value on your property and taxes it accordingly. That's how it ought to be. Because guess what? If I get to say what all my assets are worth, if that's really how it works, Cleve, I just became a billionaire.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna value my assets. That's not how it works. If the state, and that's why I say if this is the law in the state, this is stupid. If the way they tax you is they take your word for what everything is worth and they tax you based on that, they got to have a better system. That's on them. There literally is no, there's no victim here.
And here's the thing. The judge determined the value of that property. The judge, through some whatever research or collaboration he has with real estate people, he determined that it was overvalued and gave a price on it. So, again, this is a judge who hates Trump.
Yeah,
that's already well explained.
What happened is that they targeted him.
Yes.
And they did whatever they needed to do to make it happen. The law, Cleve, is a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The law has no power outside of how it's enforced.
Well, here's the thing.
And so and it's corrupt here. And so that's why he's...
But here's the thing. Rumblings of businesses who are saying, maybe this is not the best environment for us and our investments, because if they can do this to him, then they can do it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And now Hochul went on and said, this won't happen to... this is not the ordinary problem that businesses will have, because this is a different thing.
Yeah,
this is Trump.
Which reinforces the fact that they're out to get him.
Right. I mean, which also tells me as a businessman, well, I'm still at risk, because you can change your mind any time about that, and you can do this. So a lot of folks are saying there's going to be this a further withdrawal of business to other places.
Good.
Because this is a hostile environment. If they get away with doing this,
plus it should happen.
The amount itself, my goodness.
Right. Gracious. I mean, so if that's the amount, are we supposed to understand that amount is the loss that the state recognized based on tax revenue? Or what was that amount based on?
Well, it's more penalty than anything else. In other words, it's not just recouping what they felt like he got in an lawful way, but now the penalty for this is this. This judge is determining the whole thing, and so
it's crooked. It's absolutely crooked.
And because of that, again, we're seeing anybody who has just a tiniest little bit of common sense sees this is an effort at election interference.
Yeah,
this is all
they're rigging it right now.
This is part of it. This is much more obvious than anything else that was said about the last election. This is in your face, and they don't care that you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, and like I said, they're going after his family as well as his property. He's not going to be able to do business in New York, and yada yada yada. And this is why. And here's the next topic. So I got to get you on this. All right. A while back, last time we talked, you said that Nikki Haley was staying in the race on the off chance that maybe Trump doesn't become the nominee, because maybe something of this stuff catches him or stops him or invalidates him, although it's not looking that way now. With the speed of what's going on, or the lack thereof, the election will be over with before anything serious can even get completely started or consummated. But Nikki Haley doesn't understand that the argument she's making now about the chaos around Trump, and people are warning, and there are people who want this, somebody who's not chaotic, somebody who doesn't seem to invite this kind of stuff. What she doesn't understand is this is not what she's saying. This is not the result of anything that Trump has done right now. Any logical person says, no, this is not about actions. This is about stopping this guy. What she should be doing, even in campaigning, is coming out strongly against what's happening to him. Not saying I'm on his side, but what's happening to him as a citizen is wrong. But she's saying this is the reason he should be disqualified, because he's bringing this on himself. And she's blown it. I don't know that Nikki Haley has a future now, unless something happens and she gets out of it now. What do you think?
I don't know.
She's lost a bigger supporter, by the way, the Koch brothers.
Yes. And the fact that she has lost some of that could mean that she will wrap up her campaign effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have a future? I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I think that she may have a future, because there is the Democrats are pushing left pretty hard.
Very hard.
And so
hard left.
And Nikki Haley is kind of establishing herself in the center, even though really, and I said this on our program last time too, she and Trump don't differ that much in policy. Mm-hmm. Trump is policy-wise kind of a centrist. Mm-hmm. And by affect, he's more right wing because he's very rude.
Okay.
He's more, his policies are more mainline, frankly. So she's positioning herself there. The reason I say she might have a future is because the Democrats are pushing so far left. The middle is becoming a bigger and bigger group.
Well,
and that is probably the group she appeals to. I don't know.
But the point is, I think she's making a huge mistake. Now, I didn't ask you for the fact that when Trump mentioned VP possibilities, that he mentioned Ron DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not heard Ron DeSantis disavow.
Oh, no, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, okay. Ron DeSantis said, I'm not doing that.
Okay, I missed that because I was waiting for him to release a statement.
And this is what he said. This is so Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. First of all, he said, I thought he was actually a little rude about it, which he probably shouldn't have been. His tone was like, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. That was kind of his tone. Mm-hmm. I don't think he had to do that. But what he said was, I'm not doing that. And I think you make a mistake if you're going to play identity politics with this pick. Mm-hmm. You should pick the best person for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he said that is because there was some talk of Trump picking a woman, like Kristi Noem, or picking a black guy like Tim Scott.
Which, by the way, is still a possibility.
Very, very much a possibility. Ron DeSantis' point this is how Ron DeSantis is. His point was, don't play that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the left's game.
Yeah.
Pick the right person for the job. If it's Tim Scott, it's Tim Scott. But but don't do it because you need a black guy on the ticket. That's not the right way to do things.
Right. And it's not the way we should be doing it. Okay. In a way, I think that Nikki Haley is playing identity politics because one of the strong things behind her is time for a woman.
Yeah. She's played the woman card. She certainly has.
So anyway, good answers, but that's there. All right. And this is one I definitely want to get your take on. Google parent company Alphabet has lost more than $70 billion in market capitalization in a single trading day on fears that its artificial intelligence tool is programmed to be woke. Okay, that came out because
obviously.
When they used their its Gemini AI image creation tool and asked it to portray historical figures. You heard about it, where we have a black... I'm sorry. As a
they
black
make
man,
George Washington right, black.
Yeah, as a black man, I'm really having fun with this. And they even made Vikings. I'm sorry. I mean, it did. They put this in, and some of them were Indian, by the way. Uh-huh. It wasn't just blacks represented.
Yeah.
They had other things. So.
They had an Asian person that was a Nazi soldier.
Right. So what slipped out, and they did not want it to slip out. And what people don't know about AI is, yes, AI is made to quote unquote think for itself. But it still thinks through the filters of its creator.
Mm-hmm.
And so what came out is, this is what you really want.
Well, and that's why, by the way, there's going to have to be pretty strict controls on AI.
Mm-hmm.
Is because if you open it up, the best AI is going to be one that has fewer filters on it.
Right.
And... that's the one that's going to win, and that's not the one that's going to be politically correct.
But they're not going to allow
that.
And
it's not going to be woke. No, they won't. And I think there actually should be some regulation on AI because it can also be very dangerous. We've seen already AI porn and things like that, people victimizing other people with this stuff. There should be some controls on it. It's complicated because we're
that's
in uncharted
problem.
Territory.
What kind of controls and who oversees that?
Who controls it is the most important question. And this is, it makes me think of, I think it was Antonin Scalia who wrote in the opinion in, I want to say it's Obergefell, it's the gay marriage thing. I'm going to butcher this, but the sentiment behind it was, that he was less concerned about marriage than he was about who rules me.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, who makes the rules is what is most at issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as conservatives, for a long time, our thought has been fewer rules. Mm-hmm. The government should take their hands off of a lot of stuff. And I don't know about you, Cleve. I'm coming to the point in my life where I'm realizing that's just not going to happen.
No, no.
And so,
not at this juncture.
And maybe what we need instead is for the right people to have their hands on it and do righteous and good things with the power that righteously and properly wield the power that we give them. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. But I think ideally what you do is you have somebody like Ron DeSantis in there.
Right.
Who's going to yield power extremely effectively and properly, like he does in the state of Florida, and not shy away and just say, we shouldn't be involved here because there's no such thing as neutrality.
Right.
Neutrality is a myth. It's not going to happen. It's not true. We're going to go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so we need to try to make sure we're going the right way.
And the thing about it is simply this. It's going to be here. We're not going to get rid of AI. It's not going anywhere. That's a fact. And there actually are good uses for AI. AI, for example, even in a ministry sense, is going to be able to do translation of into other languages, allowing the Bible and the gospel message to be used and transported in ways that we can't do right now. There's a lot of great uses for this, okay, a lot. But again, it depends on who is in power. And I'm afraid this group that's in power, the progressives, and they've already tipped their hand. They didn't want it to look this heavy-handed. But they have been wanting to get a tool, for example, to rewrite history for the longest. They're already rewriting it. But if done properly and a whole lot more subtly than what happens here, it gets totally rewritten. And once a nation loses its history, the background that makes it what it is, that makes it what it was hoping to be, it's just like without border. When you toss that away, then you have no nation. You have whatever the power that be says it is.
And we're definitely seeing that happen. We mentioned Christian nationalism at the beginning here.
Yes, yeah, bring
this
it
is
out.
Something that if you say Christian nationalism, a normal person thinks theocracy.
Right.
A normal person thinks that Christian nationalism is a king who pushes who makes everybody worship a certain way. Mm-hmm. And we know in the American tradition that that's not proper and that's not right.
Right.
And so the left has taken this word and they've redefined it and they've changed it. And I've been saying every now and then, Cleve, I hit on something and I have an insight that's pretty good. I've been saying for months and months and months, Christian nationalism, formerly known as Western civilization.
Right.
You've heard me say it.
Yes, I'm a witness.
They have taken Western civilization, which is an obvious good, one of the best forces in the history of the world for positive outcomes for people, and they've rebranded that basically as Christian nationalism, evidenced by the fact that recently we had some lady from Politico get on MSNBC and define Christian nationalists as people who are, by the way, very different from Christians.
Right.
But they actually believe that your rights come from God.
I heard that.
And not from the government.
Now think about that.
Cleve.
She did not realize it. It's what she was saying. She did not.
It is the very point of our country. Yes. It is literally the foundation of our country that our rights come from God.
Inalienable rights given by the Creator.
And governments, this is from the Declaration of Independence, governments are formed to protect those rights.
Right.
The Declaration of Independence is very clear about that. So what she has basically said is that America is Christian nationalist at its founding. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually think that we have moved away from that, Cleve. I don't know if you've noticed, but America is not the same country it was. And over the last recent past, I got to be honest with you, I am disillusioned with the once great nation that we live in. It's not what it was anymore.
No.
And it has been painful for me to realize that the country that we celebrate on July 4th, and the country that we think about as a great bastion for religious liberty and the pinnacle of Western civilization is almost completely gone, if not gone already. Western civilization, here's what I'll say. these movements, these ideas and things that go, that happen in history, they have ending points. Mm-hmm. And I think we're at the end. Mm-hmm. I really think that we're at the end of Western civilization. We're at the end, which means we're at the end of America as we know it. Sure. We really are. And I don't know that there's anything we can do about that. As conservatives, we want to act like we just want to preserve that as long as possible. We need to bring it back. But it doesn't come back. Well, it's gonna be a new thing,
yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. We can still make it good, mm-hmm. But we're gonna have to, in some ways, let go of that stuff. Maybe pull those ideals and bring them forward as much as possible. But there's gonna be something new. The end of something is always messy, mm-hmm. And we're experiencing that right now.
The only thing that I say is this, and this is going to sound terribly pessimistic. We as believers need to understand this world will end. It's not going to be able to sustain itself. This world has never been anything but evil. It's just that now evil is out in the open. It's not restrained and getting less restrained all the time. But I still believe, and if it's God's will, this is important, but I still believe there can be another season of restraint for however short that might be, another season of restraint before the curtain comes down, not just on Western civilization, but on America. And I don't know that's going to happen. I just know that as a Christian, not just as an American, not just as a person who doesn't want to have any hardship, but as a Christian, I'm to do whatever I can to be salt and light. Salt is a preservative. It doesn't stop the rot. It slows it down. Okay. And so I want to do that as long as the Lord lets me to do it. So we have a chance, I believe, for one more season of restraint. Will we get it? I don't know. But it should not be because we did not make the stand and do the right thing. We being, I think, us Americans who are.
Well, and I don't disagree with you, but all I will add is that we can build so. It may be the end of an era, mm-hmm. But that would also make it the beginning of an era. And we can still do good things as Christians, as salt and light.
Yeah.
Maybe we can be more light right now than salt.
Yeah. I just think we need to try.
Even, I don't know. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Even if it doesn't succeed, that's not the issue. A lot of people say, "Why are you trying?" We do it because it's the right thing to do. And that's what I believe our Heavenly Father would be looking at. That's the standard. What was in your heart? Why did you do what you do? You may not succeed in this life temporarily, but that's not the measure by which we'll be judged. And it's His opinion that matters most. David, how can folks hear this, scintillating this stuff?
Check it out on Spotify. You can find us on Facebook. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, a great way to listen.
All right. And I'm Cleve Walker, David Perry over there. And again, it's not over with yet. I don't believe it is.
Yeah, keep the faith, but it might be over. It might be.
We don't know that. We'll leave.
I'm just talking about Western Civ, not life. I mean, it is.
Yeah, Western Civ has been going for a long time. You're right. All right, so you have a good one. Bye-bye.